broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it was refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 2nd, the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Patrick Simmons with us now, righttowork.org. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Sam.
Wow, have the gloves come off with Joe Biden in office, huh?
Yeah, it's happening real quick, one after the other, and we're seeing some real unprecedented stuff happening here.
All right, what's this guy's name? He's one of the big leaders of the Labor Relations Board. They asked him to resign. He said, they fired him, right?
Yeah, Peter Robb was Trump's appointee to be general counsel of the NLRB. The National Labor Relations Board has five members, but they also have a general counsel who's appointed by the president for a four-year term, confirmed by the Senate. And traditionally, they've always served out that term. President Obama's selection was in office for the first 9 months of Trump's term. President Bush's selection was, I believe, in office for close to 18 months during the beginning of Obama's term in office. And yet on day one, literally 23 minutes past noon on Inauguration Day, so Biden was still on the podium giving his speech, and yet his someone from his office said, "You have till 5 p.m. to resign, or we're going to fire you," which has never happened before in the existence of the general counsel's position, which has been around for over 70 years. And sure enough, they did that. The next day, they demanded his deputy, who had been by virtue of being his deputy, became the acting general counsel. They did the same thing to her, and then they plucked someone out of the Chicago office. Who has now begun steamrolling and eviscerating a lot of the things that Peter Robb had done to protect workers who were the victims of union coercion. And so we're seeing a full-on power grab at the National Labor Relations Board right now, something that's never happened before. Joe Biden had talked a lot. One of the themes was, this return to normalcy or whatever. And there are all sorts of reasons why that's ridiculous. His first minutes in office show that this is anything but normal.
Wait a minute. I thought we were going to get, like, united and stuff.
Right. Yeah. That may have been what he told people to get them, some of them to vote for him. But it's certainly not how it's playing out. And we're seeing it every day. Just last night, this acting general counsel, although it's not only unprecedented, there's a real question of whether it's legal. It's already starting to see some action on that issue. I expect a lot more, including perhaps in some of the cases that we have when adverse action is taken against the workers we're assisting. But this is gonna play out in the courts. But no matter what happens on that side of things, there's no question. This is not uniting. This is not bipartisan. This is not a return to some sort of norms. This is an extremely radical action that has been taken and is being undertaken. And it's, like I said, it's really making the National Labor Relations Act, which is already very one-sided in how it treats workers who don't want to associate with a union, but there are some protections for those workers, and it's pretty clear they're moving to wipe out as many of those as possible, to the benefit, of course, of unions and union officials who overwhelmingly lined up in support of Joe Biden's election. So you've got basically a payback to one of his biggest donors, and it took all of 23 minutes for him to be in office for that to take place.
All right, let's talk about Peter Rubb for a second, because, you know, they want you to believe this is like Trump's appointee. Trump went extreme with Peter Rubb, and now Biden's going to go extreme the other way and reject Peter Rubb, and that's not really the story, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, the general counsel was set up by Congress to be independent, and they're the ones who have sort of prosecutorial oversight. And, you know, Peter Rubb prosecuted businesses, and he prosecuted unions, and he did, you know, both of them. And when there's tough decisions, they often make their way up to the National Labor Relations Board, and they're the ones who decide it. But you know, what union officials are so upset about is he took seriously the protections that workers have against being coerced into unions. So, I mean, one of his big they have sort of called advice memos that the general counsel's issue, and it's to basically tell the lower level bureaucrats, say, these are important cases. I want you to, you know, when you get someone alleging that their rights have been violated in this type of case, you need to take it particularly seriously. And one of the big areas that he was enforcing was workers' Beck rights. That's under the 1988 Supreme Court decision in a National Right to Work case, a case argued by National Right to Work Foundation attorneys, about workers' rights not to fund union political activities. You know, you even in a state, as we've discussed before, in a right to work state, all union financial support is voluntary. It's up to each worker. In states without right to work laws, there's so-called agency fees that workers can be forced to pay for, but they cannot be forced to pay for union ideological and political activities. And so he said, "Look, we need to be active in enforcing workers' rights."
You mean Peter Rubb?
Yeah, Peter Rubb.
And let me be very clear, because I want to make sure people understand this. This does not need to be tied to Trump. Okay, yeah, Trump put him there, fine. But what we're talking about is a man who is general counsel, who basically said, look, I have laws to uphold, and I'm going to uphold the laws in the states that they relate to. I'm going to do it nationally from a law-based point of view. In the states that are right to work, we're going to have certain, you know, guidelines and realities. And in the other states, we're going to have a similar thing, but different based on the laws there. This guy wasn't out of his mind or pushing any agendas or anything like that at all, right?
No, he did have an agenda, but his agenda was nothing unusual or abnormal. It was to enforce workers' rights under the National Labor Relations Act.
I know, but hold on. That's just keeping his oath of office, though. That's not an agenda.
Right. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. No. You're right.
And I don't mean to play games with words, but I want to be very clear, though. I guess if you want to say his agenda is to uphold the law, okay. But what I mean is he didn't have any buttons to push, any agenda, any focus. He didn't do things that were outside the law. I mean, I don't understand the political nature of what Joe Biden has turned this into. Is what I'm driving at.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it gets to he was you know, willing to prosecute union officials when they were caught violating workers' rights.
But if they are violating workers' rights, they need to be prosecuted, sir. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's correct. And that's how the National Labor Relations Act is set up. And, you know, if union officials don't like that, the answer is for Congress to change the law. There are all sorts of reasons why the changes they want to make would be terrible. But that's where that process should take place.
Agreed. And the reason I highlight this so much, though, is the president shouldn't have an axe to grind against any of this or have an agenda either. And that's what I'm really trying to get at is, hey, Mr. Rubb does not have an agenda. He's carrying out the law as specified by the way, the lawmakers, that's Congress. Whereas Joe Biden, though, seems to have a problem with that and an agenda that conflicts with that.
Yeah, no, I think he absolutely does. He views the National Labor Relations Board not as a neutral arbiter of the law, which is what it was set up to be. And believe me, you know, the National Right to Work Foundation, we have plenty of criticisms of the National Labor Relations Act, but the fact that it, you know, purports to be a neutral agency is not one of them. But that seems to be the problem that the Biden administration has, which is, you know, the idea that this is not just an arm of organized labor that assists union officials in their agenda, but has, you know, the obligation to assist workers when they, for example, don't want to pay for union officials' political activities. And so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing, unions spent, we don't really know yet. We probably will never know the total figure, but hundreds of millions, maybe $1 billion in this last election. We know from past experience, every 2 years they spend over $2 billion on political activities and lobbying, and this is the kind of influence it buys them.
All right, can Peter Robb do anything about this, or does he just have to walk away?
I've seen some indications that he's looking at launching his own legal challenge. I know, in addition, there are, like I said, there's already people whose cases are being affected by this new so-called acting general counsel, who may only be there through an illegal removal of Peter Robb. They're raising this issue in legal action.
What they're
likely
to do,
there's going to be a lot more of that.
What they're likely to do is have this temporary person there, do all the damage, then remove the temporary person, put somebody else there, and now it's going to be hard to claim that the person there is responsible or whatever else. It just makes it 10 times harder from a legal point of view because they're already turned out, if you will.
Yeah, I expect that's part of what their calculation is. Look, we'll do it. Maybe we get caught, but ultimately we'll have stopped all these things from going forward for a long enough period of time that it's worth it.
Patrick Simmons with us. RightToWork.org, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight. We got a lot more on your radio.
To leave a message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college. Really? I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide. Because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
All right, Patrick Simmons with me, ladies and gentlemen. Your national right to work is the issue. National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. RightToWork.org is the easiest website for me to get to. Biden took the unprecedented step to fire Peter Robb, National Labor Relations Board General Counsel, with really no reason. Okay, a lot of times there's people in administrations that serve no matter who is in power, and they serve because they're supposed to be nonpartisan, non-political positions. Well, Joe, while he claims unity, blew that right out of the water. It literally took him seconds, a big, huge payback to unions. But it gets worse, ladies and gentlemen. Quote, we should change the law so that there's no right to work. allowed anywhere in the country. Not a joke. That's what Joe Biden brazenly stated, right? He proclaimed this openly. Patrick?
Yeah, no, there's no question that his position is that all 27 existing right-to-work laws should be wiped out. Other states considering right-to-work should be banned from doing so. And he supports a bill in Congress, the so-called PRO Act, that would do just that. It would change federal law to prohibit any state from having a right-to-work law. So millions of workers in the 27 right-to-work states could suddenly be told pay up or be fired by a union. And other states considering right-to-work, and there are a couple right now that that seem to have some momentum building towards that, you know, would be prohibited from doing so as well. And it's you know, it's a really radical position. There's no way around that. I mean, polling consistently shows 75-80% of Americans support the idea that union funding should be voluntary, that workers should not be required to join or pay dues to a union, but that they should have the individual freedom of choice so that they can do that if they want, but they can't be required to do so. And yet, once again, getting back to this, you know, payback to some of his biggest political donors, he wants to force workers to pay them money.
Is
money
this
that
a
they're
loss
around
they're
and
making?
Use to,
where he gets this huge donor money and then he turns right around and literally turns an office that was never meant to be political into a political reality check right on the spot, claims unity while doing it, fires this guy, literally comes back then and says, hey, we need to get rid of right to work all across the country. There should be no such thing as right to work or whatever else. And I mean, is this a lawsuit just waiting to happen, Patrick, or am I overreaching on this?
Well, I think there's multiple lawsuits there waiting to happen. I mean, we already talked about this. There's going to be lawsuits on the firing of Peter Robb. Certainly, if the PRO Act were ever passed into law, there'd be lawsuits about that. Because wiping out right to work is not even the, you know, the only thing it does. It's one of a long list of aspects of that bill, all designed to expand union boss force due power over workers. Other aspects of it are card check, which that lets unions organize workers, unionize them without even a secret ballot vote. So they right now the normal way of unionizing is there's a petition, 30% of the workers sign the petition, and then they get a vote in secret, so that you'll be of course with a secret ballot. In a voting booth where the union official can't see how you're voting, you're able to vote your conscience much more easily. Whereas when they give you a card and two or three guys surround you and maybe say, hey, everyone else is signing, sign this card. You don't want to be the guy who, once we get into power, we know opposed us. That kind of pressure, and we've seen other deliberate lies that go along with that. Anyway, that's the system that would be mandated by the PRO Act. They want to unionize, be able to unionize every Uber, Lyft driver, independent contractors, people who are freelancers, all these types of individuals who currently are not subject to the National Labor Relations Act and the forced dues and forced representation that law entails. They want to expand that to millions and millions of other individuals around this country. And so, you know, this is a massive forced dues giveaway, and there's really no other way to look at it. And so, you know, there's going to be there'll be lawsuits to parts challenging parts of that bill, I would expect, if it ever passed. We're hopeful that it'll be stopped in the Senate. We know that it passed the House last time, and I think there's every reason to think it could easily do so again. There's multiple lawsuits, but it is remarkable. I can, you don't want to always, go back to, what Trump would, the Trump kind of comparative. But imagine if 23 minutes into Donald Trump's presidency, he had done something that had never been done in 70 years to knock out the guy who is prosecuting some of his biggest donors. That would be front page headline, you know, in all these major newspapers, CNN, MSNBC, you know, NBC News. You would see nothing but that. And yet there's been relative silence on this. And to the extent people are talking about it, it's just sort of as if it's some sort of procedural thing and not a giant payback to his biggest donors, which is exactly what it is.
Well, I hope we sue Joe like no other on this, because I believe that what we're doing is under the, quote, lie of unity, is we are literally destroying America, ladies and gentlemen. Not only are they going for getting rid of this general counsel, not only is Joe Biden brazenly proclaiming we should change the federal law so there's no right to work anywhere in our country, they're literally attacking specific states right now as well. What, Nevada's one of them?
Yeah, Nevada is one of them. We think they're coming after. Well, no, New Jersey doesn't have a right to work.
No, Virginia.
Sorry. Yeah, Virginia and Nevada are the two where there's a real active. There's a serious concern that they're going to try and repeal those two right to work laws. They did so in the previous session. Virginia is an off year, so it's the same legislature composition of the legislature now as it was last year. And last year they had bills in both houses. They came real close. They sent it to a, quote, study committee to study it, but they didn't fully kill it off. And so it's something that the National Right to Work Committee is really working on to mobilize citizens in those two states. Nevada, a similar issue. They you know, the way that legislature is, it's under threat. And so we're trying to mobilize people to contact their legislators and let them know this is unpopular. You know, they may think that rewarding union officials because of the money they throw around is a good idea, but the voters are the ultimate accountability, and they need to hear from them because they're overwhelmingly opposed to that. We know that from polling.
All right, the battle's on, ladies and gentlemen. The reality has changed. Joe's on the offensive big time. And I don't really know how much of it is Joe versus the people surrounding Joe, which is really kind of important to understand as well, right, Patrick?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's people making political calculations. And I think, you know, you look at the Keystone pipeline, which happened same day, you know, threatens to get this guy fired, wipes him out, unprecedented, never been done. At the same time, he's destroying thousands of union jobs that were going to be on that pipeline. And so he's saying, look, union officials, I may be harming your members, but don't worry, I'm going to look out for you and your power with these other grabs. And I think so there's some calculation there that he's got all these various special interests that he needs to appease. And so if he's, you know, throwing some union workers under the bus on one thing, he's going to try and make it up to the union officials, even though it doesn't help the members, but make it up to the union officials by protecting their power and knocking out this prosecutor who was catching them violating the law.
And this is what happens when you have too many unholy alliances, huh?
Yeah, it's you know, he's got a lot of special interests to pay off, and certainly big labor is at the top of that list. But there's a balancing act, and so you know, whether it's Joe Biden or the people you know, pulling the strings behind him, there's a lot taking place here, and it's getting real ugly real quick. No question about that.
Well, you better fight for your right to be able to work, ladies and gentlemen, because, hey, they want to take it away from you. One of their big pushes, they want to push for a universal basic income, and then you won't even need to deal with workers there, Patrick.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's certainly, I mean, what they're looking for. But we're going to keep fighting for workers. We want people to be able to work to make a living and not be forced to pay a labor union to do it. It
right
should be their choice.
RightToWork.org. Patrick Simmons, thank you so much, sir. We'll have you back soon. Our prayers are with you guys, brother.
Thank you, Sam.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job as always. That update's worthy. I'm telling you right now, man, Biden's on a bender. I'll tell you what. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, the Democrat from New York, comes under immense scrutiny for his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. On Monday, a report details Cuomo's contentious relationship with the New York State Health Department. The Times report claimed 9 top health officials resigned over the last year. The former officials allege Cuomo sidestepped their proposals for dishing out COVID-19 vaccines to residents. They added Cuomo deleted decades worth of planning. 100-ish House Democrats are asking House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to include amnesty for some illegal immigrants in the COVID relief package. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus is heading up the group of House Democrats who sent a letter to Pelosi over the weekend seeking amnesty for at least 5 million illegal immigrants deemed essential workers and added to the stimulus bill. 6 people were arrested Monday for trespassing after altering California's iconic Hollywood sign, changing the last 4 letters to B-O-O-B. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
You guys, your customer service and everything, you guys are great. And the commercials talk about it, but I don't know if it really gives it true justice. People need to know. This is maybe the most amazing product I've ever tried. It's so pure. It tastes so good. I'm just blown away by it.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
Could an ancient mystery be determining the events of our time? Could it reveal the secret of our future? Are recent events a warning that we are approaching judgment? How much time do we have left? Author Jonathan Kahn releases the book that reveals what could not be revealed until now. His newest New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger 2, The Return, embark on an epic journey to uncover the mysteries and revelations that are changing the world and will change your life. Available online and wherever fine books are sold.
President Trump is expected to give comments to the court Tuesday on the impeachment trial set to begin next week. USA Radio News' Dan Naraki has more.
A week away from his second impeachment trial, former President Donald Trump announced he was bringing in a new legal team. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy tells Fox News that in a legal proceeding, that would be cause for a delay in a trial. But since impeachment is a political matter, the president's new team will have to quickly prepare their defense.
They can make arguments for all kinds of things. The fact is, we have to keep remembering that this is a political proceeding, not a legal one. So the normal due process rules wouldn't necessarily obtain. I think what you're seeing is the president has replaced a team that appears to have been, you know, more along the lines of a traditional legal team that wanted to put their head down and proceed with the case. He wants a little bit more of a public defense because it's a political proceeding.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, incredible guests on your radio. Usually I go over the previous day's broadcast right at the start of the show, but man, we had on Joe Lozito. Too good of an interview. We needed all the time we had for Joe last hour. Incredible stuff. And so I wanted to go over the yesterday's news the networks refused to use now. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org. And we talked about Domestic Enemies, written by Ron Paul. Great, great article. We also talked about When Fascism Comes, It'll Be Wearing a Mask, Ron Paul. And we tied that into Save the Filibuster, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm not really a filibuster guy, but we've got to save the filibuster because they've destroyed all the checks and balances that make America great. See, the senators should be elected by state bodies, state officials, state-elected legislative bodies, and not by the people directly. So the 17th Amendment needs to be repealed. But when they jettison that check and balance, then they say, oh, golly, we can't have a majority of senators voting on something. We got to have a supermajority. And then we got to have super senators with special powers. And then, oh my gosh, to counteract that, we got to have a filibuster. And to counteract, and we go on and on. And yes, the Senate can make their own rules, but they're making rules because we have violated the checks and balances that make America great. We need to return to how America once was if we want to have true check and balances. And senators should represent state legislative bodies. That way the 50 states have a seat at the table for discussion. Right now they don't. Anyway, I digress, except for to say that Ron Paul's points on this are very, very good. SARS-CoV-19, or whatever you want to call it, they call it COV-2 or whatever you want to call it. It's the SARS-19. has not even been proven to exist, ladies and gentlemen. The shocking research of Christine Massey points this out. John Rappaport with the article turns out 46 institutions have responded to her request, and none of them, zero, claim that they have found the virus. Okay? If you isolate something, you can prove it exists. Inability to isolate it means you can't even prove it exists. That's where her research takes us. Now you say, COVID, Sam, if there's no virus and you can't prove it exists, why are people dying? Well, interestingly enough, you look at the flu numbers and they're way down. You look at all kinds of other illnesses and sicknesses and they're way down. You take a little bit of numbers from all of these, and the point that she makes is that the coronavirus is not one single sickness. It's a bunch of sicknesses altogether. Yeah. How are retroviruses isolated? We talked about that a little bit. We talked about the deep flaws of PCR testing. Gary G. Coles. We don't recommend that anybody get tested for COVID, but if you do get tested, if you do get a PCR test, you need to know how many cycles they ran in that test. Also, you need to find out who manufactured your test. Because the Swiss policy research now says, if a person gets a positive PCR test using a cycle threshold, in other words, a CT of above 35, the chance of the person being infected is really only 3%. Bogus tests are like 97% if you go above 35 cycles. And if you don't believe me, that's a Fauci statement, not a Sam Bushman statement. It's an Anthony Fauci reality check. In the U.S., by the way, a PCR kit from Quest uses 50 cycles. Indio's test uses 45 cycles. Luminos test, or Luminex, I guess, 45 cycles for their test as well. Nomagen, 39 cycles. Thermo Fisher, 37 cycles. They're all way above, ladies and gentlemen. They're all way above the number of cycles that you're supposed to have. Why? That's a serious concern. We talked about the check mating of America, though. They're using the environment, climate change. They're also using a destruction of the middle class because of the COVID. People can't work. Small businesses shut down everywhere. And they're working on their way to a financial jubilee. Not a biblical one that God would have. Forgiveness of debts, honestly, as the Lord said, forgive thy debtors. But as a government-forced jubilee to bring on tyranny, a satanic jubilee. So second hour, we talked to Dr. Scott Bradley, his collegiate series, homeschool series on this topic is called To Preserve the Nation. His website's freedomsrisingsun.com, but the good doctor broke this down with me. We talked about the GameStop squeeze, short squeeze, a huge lie con game. We talked about how JP Morgan traders had a guilty plea and it boosts manipulation claim against the banks, CNBC.com. This is an article that came out years ago, 2013 article, highlighting how they got busted faking this big paper play, paper trade stuff. And it's all backed by the fake money of the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen. What was the year of Jubilee? What is that? Well, biblically speaking, it's an honorable thing. It's a forgiveness of debt. But in government, you've got the globalists launch a worldwide Great Reset, a.k.a. Operation Satanic Jubilee, is what we're talking about. We also talked about the mask mandate signed by Joe. Joe signs order requiring masks for anybody traveling in the United States, from trains and planes and automobiles right on down to ride-sharing services. I mean, Joe is out of control. He thinks he's a legislator. He ought to be thrown in prison for his abuse of power immediately, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, Sam, previous presidents have done that forever. I know. And I'm not defending them. They're guilty, too. But Joe's the one in power now, and Joe's the one that we need to look at in regard to his criminal activity. Just imagine if members of Congress decided they were going to be the executive branch and just start, you know, what if a member of Congress just said, I'm going to just start writing executive orders? Well, no, Sam, that's what the president's supposed to do. Oh, yeah? Look at your Constitution. Where does the president have authority to write executive orders and create law? All legislative powers are in Congress. Go read your Constitution. So if Joe can just run around and create executive orders, can every member of Congress do the same? And if not, why not? They're closer to at least lawmaking authority than Joe is. I know, Sam, but it's different. Oh, yeah, you tell me how it's different. Anyway, there you have it. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday. It's available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. First hour, though. I'm telling you right now, first hour, great radio. We had on Joseph Lozito, the story of how he went from being the average Joe to being dubbed the New York subway hero. The New York subway hero, my battle with evil and a spree killer. He wrote the book. It's a paperback. It's on Amazon.com. He wrote it in 2014. Incredible book that chronicles the story. And it really chronicles the unfortunate twist of the story. The cops sat there and watched and did nothing to help Joe or anybody else for that matter. They were afraid. They were cowards. And a Manhattan judge agreed with him and dismissed Joe Lozito's victim lawsuit, where he basically said, hey, you know what? They left me out to dry. Two officers failed to protect and aid him, but the judge let him off. No wonder people hate the cops. Sad tale, but true. Anyway, in a couple of days, on the 12th, February the 12th, in 10 days, it'll be 10 years since the horrific event Joe experienced on that fateful Saturday morning. Our prayers are with Joe and his family. What an American hero. After it all, Joe does not have hatred in his heart. He doesn't hate the cops. He's a law-abiding citizen that loves his wife and loves his kids. And he says, that's the reason I'm alive today. I say the reason he's alive today is not only his indomitable spirit, but his, well, he watched MMA fighting and he used an MMA move on the knifeman, stopped him. Thank heavens for that. But he's alive today, I believe, primarily because of his wife and children. They gave him the, quote, mojo to stand strong and to jettison hate and to be grateful for every day that he lives. What a hero. In my mind, Joe Lozito is a hero. I mean, he's a hero because of what he did that day in the subway. But he's more of a hero because of his attitude and what he focuses on day to day. He's grateful for the nurses and people that took care of him. He's grateful for his wife and family. He's grateful for the people that give him a job. I mean, he's just a real man. A man's man, if you will. A man who literally is tough, as nails when needs be. His subway, you know, fight and take down of the killer proves it. But he's a man's man because he attributes a lot of his success to his wife. He calls her the backbone of their family. I mean, this is a real man, baby. This guy gets it. What a hero. I want to see what more we can do for Joe. I don't know that I have any power to really make a whole lot of difference, but I'm sure going to try. I think Joe's an American hero is what I think. I think his story is riveting. But sad to say, ladies and gentlemen, the cops ain't learned nothing in New York City. I kid you not. NY girl, so New York City girl, right? Or a New York girl, at least. 9 years old. She got pepper sprayed and handcuffed by the cops. It's a recent story. There's video out about it right now. And I guess what happened is there was some kind of a problem at the home, so the cops came, tons of them. And this 9-year-old girl, I guess, was being combative and, you know, saying that she didn't want to live and saying that she was going to kill her mom is what they say. I don't know how much of that's true. They tried to get the girl in the cop car, and she was kicking, and they handcuffed her, and then they just pepper sprayed her. Ladies and gentlemen, this is out of control. Out of control.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. I am Sam Bushman. Joe Biden brazenly proclaims we should change the federal law so there's no right to work allowed anywhere in the country. No right to work, huh? They just want everybody on the dole, don't they? Literally, in my opinion, Joe Biden bordering on treason right from the gate. Right out of the gate, bordering on treason. Lying about unity, creating wedges everywhere. Biden took the unprecedented step of firing National Labor Relations Board General Counsel Peter Robb right on the spot. Wow. New York City girl or New York girl 9 gets pepper sprayed and handcuffed by the cops. This is a recent modern story this very second. And I look back to Joe Lozito's situation in 2011 and I go, have they learned anything in the last 10 years? I mean, why on earth are they pepper spraying and handcuffing a little girl? It's out of control, folks. It's because the cops are out of control. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a member of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I am the operations vice president of the organization, so I get it. And I'm not anti-cop or anti-police officer by any means. But I'm telling you, if we want to restore trust with the public, we better start to create accountability. These people these cops that literally did nothing to support Joe Lozito, I mean, they're criminals, folks. But they got protected by the courts and by the system. Joe got hung out to dry. If we want to restore trust, we've got to stop this. Okay, these cops that literally tase and half handcuff a 9-year-old little girl, okay, they need to be stopped. We need to rid our police departments and sheriff's departments of these sheriff's offices, of these, do I dare say criminal cops? Certainly of these people that don't have the integrity to do what needs to be done. Okay, I don't know why you're pepper spraying and handcuffing a 9-year-old girl, but it's out of control, folks. All right, enough of that. But anyway, shame on them. Shame on them. And if we, like I say, if we want to build trust with the American people, we better start to prosecute cops that are out of control and do the wrong thing. We better not protect them. The more we do that, the more trust we will erode. The more we lose trust, the worse it'll get for cops. And sadly, I don't want police officers to be harmed in the line of duty because people are mad at the cops. People shouldn't be mad at the police. People should be grateful. But the police have an obligation to clean house and get rid of the bad apples. If they want to build trust, that's what they'll do, and they'll do it soon. All right, non-voters. Registered Democrats. So two groups of people, the non-voter and the registered Democrats, are among those arrested at the Capitol protest on January the 6th. Hannah Blau or Ballou, I don't know how to say her last name. But anyway, she works for Breitbart, reports. Yeah, this is serious business, folks. Because I told you right from the start that there's bad guys on both sides. There's good guys on both sides, too. That's what Donald Trump said at Charlottesville. And he got absolutely beat up for it. But Trump is right. There's bad guys on both sides. So now we find out it's not just Trump supporters. Were there Trump supporters that were wrong and, destroyed property and, created harm and violence? Absolutely, and they ought to be prosecuted. But I'm telling you right now, when you dig in, you begin to find out There were non-voters and registered Democrats, both among those arrested at the Capitol protest. And many of these people pretended they were Trump supporters, but when you really dig into their past, they're Bernie Sanders supporters or et cetera, et cetera. They're not real Trump supporters. So we told you, and we'll tell you again, they're lying to you about the narrative on January the 6th. Lying to you. By the way, an 18-year-old college student turns his father into the FBI. Now, I guess the 18-year-old student said, hey, my dad's a Trump supporter and he's getting radicalized and I got a concern. I'm going to turn my dad into the FBI. But it turns out that this kid now, this teenager, 18-year-old kid, got $138,000 on GoFundMe now. So let me get this right. You turn your dad in for being a Trump supporter to the FBI. You tell everybody about it. You get $138,000 on Facebook. I'm sorry, on GoFundMe. $138,000 on GoFundMe. We can't raise $100,000 on GoFundMe if our lives depended on it. Yeah. I even offered to go to Washington and do a healthcare education seminar at the National Press Club to try to help people understand there are plenty of great alternatives to Obamacare, et cetera, et cetera. I couldn't even get $1,000 raised. But this 18-year-old college student, after turning his dad into the FBI, gets $138,000 on GoFundMe. It's shocking. Shocking. But I thought I'd bring that story to your attention. Also, political commentator Steven Crowder. He's now going to sue Facebook for treating conservative content unfairly. Yeah, he announced it on his website. And the lawsuit's going to be, I guess, in California or something. Well, Dennis Prager, Steven Crowder, Larry Klayman, all these people are correct. Facebook needs to be sued. The only problem that I have with the lawsuits is I don't trust the courts. If you think the courts are going to take care of you, ask Joe Lucido. Or Lozito. He doesn't believe that, right? Lozito. Anyway, if you don't believe me that the courts aren't going to be fair, just ask President Donald Trump, or former President Trump, right? Is he still president? Yeah, hard to tell, huh? All right, next piece. In addition to commentator Steven Crowder suing Facebook, good for him. I pray for his success. He needs to team up with Dennis Prager and crew. President's action puts men and women and children primarily at risk. Come on, man. Allowing men to women to use women's bathrooms is bad policy. The American Family Association, they put out an email to me with a petition. So the American Family Association put out a petition. Says president's action puts women and children at risk. Come on, man. Saying that this, gender bender stuff is bad policy, letting men go into women's bathrooms and everything else. And the American Family Association says, please take action. Send your email to President Biden now, telling him that he has the obligation to protect women and children. Yes. Not put them at risk for sexual assaults. Amen to that. The President of the United States should not sanction a policy of inviting men to enter the women's restrooms and dressing rooms. Amen to that reality check. Send your email to Biden. I'm taking out president there. Okay. I agree that Biden has the obligation. But do you have trust in Biden? He shouldn't put them at risk of sexual assaults. The President of the United States should not sanction a policy of inviting men into women's bathrooms, etc. Amen to that. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Good for the American Family Association. Shame on Biden. And it's really hard. Do you call Biden the president of the United States if you believe he was wrongfully positioned there? Do you just let that go? See, I think you don't. I don't think you just let it go. I think it's wrong to just let it go. All right, now, Merck made an interesting move. You say, what do? They decided that their vaccine should not be in the runnings anymore. Now, some are saying Merck believes that it's better to get the COVID than the vaccine. That's why they pulled the vaccine off the shelf or out of the test phase, out of the runnings. But now there's an article in USA Today. Article falsely frames reason for Merck move is what they say. And it's a big article, but they say that the Merck halted development of its two COVID-19 vaccines. Yeah, pharmaceutical giant Merck dropped out, they say. That's interesting. Why would Merck drop out? Well, that's where the debate comes in. The mainstream press wants you to believe that people are falsely framing the reason for the move. I don't know the reason for the Merck move, so I'm not falsely doing anything. I want USA Today to understand that reality check. Pharmaceutical giant Merck recently dropped out and ended its COVID-19 vaccine trials. Now, we can debate why all day long, but I submit to you that USA Today doesn't know the facts either. So I submit to you that both groups, you know, are kind of grasping at straws here. They say one article, however, distorted the company's reasons for dropping out. An article circulating online falsely claims that Merck halted the development of its COVID-19 vaccines because it was more effective to contract the virus and develop antibodies. And that's why they got to scrap the COVID vaccine. But USA Today says that's not why. All right. But they're going to do fact checks, and they say, hey, this group that published this is a questionable source, da-da-da. Well, I don't mean to be rude, but you know what? Just because you don't like the website that published it, or just because you think the website doesn't have credibility, I don't think USA Today has credibility either. But either the facts are true or the facts are false. And I'm telling you the facts. Are you ready? Pharmaceutical giant Merck recently dropped out and ended its COVID-19 vaccine trials. Did you know that? That's a fact. Now, why they did it? I don't know. Okay, I don't know why it was done. But I know this. They say we need vaccines really, 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 really bad. And if Merck drops its two trials, we're not going to have near enough vaccinations, if you believe their official story, right? And the Merck vaccines were supposed to be single vaccines, not double dose requirements, making it a lot easier to vaccinate more people. Furthermore, the vaccines were more stable, which means they didn't have to be frozen all the time. So these vaccines were way better, even though they weren't quite as effective. Why did Merck drop the trials? Why did Merck bow out? Why did pharmaceutical giant Merck drop out and end its COVID-19 trials? I don't know the answer, folks. I just don't. But I know they did, and I doubt they did it because, I'm concerned they might have felt like it wasn't near safe as effective as it could be. I don't know the reason why, but if you know we need vaccines so bad, why would you drop out? Especially if your vaccines had so many benefits that the other ones don't have. We'd have to dig in, find out why Merck dropped out. Maybe somebody ought to take them to court and see if they can get discovery, huh? Anyway, very interesting stuff indeed. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. 2 hours of hard-hitting educational talk, always at your fingertips. 6 days a week on the Sabbath, we rest. Spread the word. Donate liberally. LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.